This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik with Howard Wilkinson. We continue our discussion with two local veterans of the Korean War. Bob McGeorge is commander of the Cincinnati chapter of the Korean War Veterans Association. He served with a heavy mortar battalion that spent more than 1,000 days on the front lines during the war. And retired anesthesiologist from Evendale, Dr. Bae Suk Lee. He escaped from communist-controlled North Korea early in the war and served alongside American and Allied troops. We'd love to have you join the conversation. You can do that by calling 513-419-7100. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.
Bob, you and Dr. Lee are good friends. I know that.
Yes.
Have been for some time. But when he says something like what he just said before the break about the sacrifice that the men like you and the others and the ones that didn't come home did for his country, how does that make you feel?
Makes me feel very good, because for years we did not get that chance to get that recognition. And I had the opportunity to go back to Korea in the year 2000. And that's when I really realized what a good job we did.
Yeah.
When I was over there and I left there, I was wondering, why were we here fighting for this country? You know, there was nothing there. And then when I went back, I said, I couldn't believe what I saw. You got paved expressways, high-rise buildings. It's just wonderful. And I said, now I know why I fought over her.
Yeah.
Doug's on the line from Independence. Doug, what's your comment?
My father served in the Korean War, but he served in the Navy. And actually, he was on the U.S. Navy skeet team. He shot skeet and really didn't see any type of action. And so I kind of embarrassingly have to admit that most of the information that I have, and I guess my perceptions of the Korean War, come from the MASH series. Crazy as that might sound, and I was just kind of wondering how relative those episodes might be towards the real things that happened in Korea during the conflict.
Well, that's an interesting question, Bob. What do you?
Well, I say the war was nothing like MASH. That was just what it was. It was a show. Some things in there might have been, you know, a little bit true, but the MASH units was nothing like they had. Them people in the MASH units were very, very good, and they worked very hard. They saved a lot of lives. Actually, the MASH units was first inaugurated in the Korean War.
Yeah,
that's where it got started.
Doug, so your dad didn't talk a lot about it?
No, not at all. Not at all. I don't think that he really felt a part of the conflict over there. And basically, I don't think he actually even went to Korea. He shot skeet for the U.S. Navy skeet team. I think just kind of traveled around competing, basically.
Well, thank you so much for your call.
Good.
We appreciate it. Mary is calling from Bridgetown. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a question for Dr. Lee. I was wondering what happened to his parents and all the rest of his siblings who were back in North Korea.
That is another story. This is not a battlefield story, but a humanitarian works during dire war going on. United States of military, when withdrawing from North Korea after Chinese invasion started, United States wasn't prepared for that one. So United States 100,000 troops equipment have to evacuate very quickly, because Chinese was advancing fast with human waves. And the whole civilian was just totally surprised, chaotic. United States always, Korean people's feeling was United States never lose, always win. And when they found out United States troops was withdrawing, they all left anything they possessed behind, and they came out with just children. Husband was separated. Some of children were separated, and they evacuated through, they call Hungnam, is a port, small port city. They needed a whole lot of fleet of Navy ships to protect military to withdraw safely. If military was lost there without a successful withdrawal, Korean War might be lost because all the troops came out or put back to front lines in South Korea.
Did your family get out?
Yes. My family, I was there with the 3rd Division, with the 15th Infantry. I was a interpreter for the intelligence section. Because of me, I don't know how, maybe because of me, my parents couldn't escape. They were ready to evacuate, but many refugees was to want to come out, but road was blocked. Among civilian refugees, there was a guerrilla, North Korean guerrilla or Chinese, were mingled. So there were blocked bridges, civilian, North Korean civilian to cross over. But even those who lucky one, when I was at the right time and the right place, when I was assignment with 3rd Division, I talked to, I was a bridge guard post with a military policeman.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell initially I am from North Korea because the military, American thought all North Koreans are communist. But I finally, when I found out, I visited my family after 4 years. First time, my family was ready to evacuate, take refuge. But one of my youngest sister that time was crossed over bridge but could not come back to join family because road was blocked at that particular time. Because I was at the right place at bridge, my military police fellows, we went there and picked up my younger brother. And next day when I went back to my old home, they were all gone. And about 7-8 months when I left the front line, I went to what they called Koze Island. There were 100,000 North Korean refugees was there. And I found they mm-hmm. were all there, except I think my mother had another baby on the way, and that was died at the refugee camp.
Yeah.
But they did get out.
They did get out. Then.
Mary, yeah. Thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it. Paul has a call. Paul's calling in right now. Hi, Paul, from Mount Lookout.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Great program. Dr. Lee, when I was in ROTC in the 1970s, the South Korean Army was held out to us as being one of the toughest, most highly disciplined armies in the world at the time. And I wonder if you could please comment on how the South Korean Army was accepted by and treated by the Americans that you were fighting alongside.
You know, anywhere you go, any community, there are some, you know, wrongful things happen. But American people are most brave, most generous. You know, Korean War veterans left behind not only independent South Korea, democratic, they left, they gave a gift of birth to one of the most prosperous country now, from world most poorest country to now donor country in the world situation now. And I have, among Korean ourselves is, you know, we fight ourselves, brothers, sisters. You know, it's a fratricidal war. But most generous, if I say, you know, this country we have saying, you know, even now, racial problem. Korea is a very small land, small, not many people. But east, north, or south, east and west, and north and south, we are fighting. Even after 60 years, we among ourselves, if a different community, we tease them. When I see come to this country, I always say you have racial problem. I see. This
but,
is.
I've always read that the American troops did have a great deal of respect for the South Korean army. Fought well with them.
We've supported the Republic of Korea army quite a few times, about as much as we did American units, and we got along with them very fine. They were decent fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was no talk much about how American soldiers, while they were fighting one side, they saved the war orphans, poor people, come around their camp base, feeding them, getting money or clothing from their United States, their wives and neighbors sending.
Dr. Lee, one thing, your generation obviously knows this. You lived through this. Do you think that younger Korean Americans have that kind of appreciation for what happened with the American troops 60 years ago?
That in my deep, my heart, when I see those who are indifferent, those who don't understand why they are here or why they are enjoying life with freedom, I feel very sorry. Mm-hmm. I am glad I am here. I hope some of Korean people listen. You know, this is one of way we can teach them, like Bob go to school and to teach them.
Paul, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it.
Thank you for taking my call.
We have now Thomas on the line. Hi, Thomas.
Was this me?
That's you. Go right ahead. What's your question?
Well, I would wanted to comment on the great beauty of Korea and how much I enjoyed it. And I went up and down the peninsula and noticed the all the statues and everything from the past.
Now, you served in Korea, and your name's Owen, I apologize. You served in Korea?
Yeah, actually, I'm Thomas Owen.
Thomas Owen. Okay, very good.
Yes, I was in the second infantry division, the 38th regiment of the 2nd, and then later on, I joined the 3rd infantry division and was in the 65th regiment of the 3rd. I was online with two different divisions, and then I got to see the beautiful shrines of the sun and the moon in Seoul, and the whole thing was, I just enjoyed being in Korea.
Bob, did you enjoy being there at all? I mean,
that
was beautiful. It was very beautiful. The sun coming up over the ice-covered mountains was just lovely.
Thomas, are you talking about this when you served or when you went back and visited later?
No, when I served, I was on the front line with two different divisions. And
That's a different perspective. Yeah. A lot of people, I don't have that
recollection.
Very cold. They call it frozen chosen.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your story. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I know you have a lot of interaction, Bob, with Korean Americans here in Cincinnati. Do you see the same thing in terms of the generational differences?
Not too much.
Yeah.
All the ones that I've met were very appreciative.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the younger generation they're trying to instill in them to be thankful.
Yeah.
And I never met a more thankful country, I'll tell you. That's all you get when you go over there is thanks.
So you've been back since?
I've been back.
Yes.
And you were talking a little bit about that. And so when you do go back, do you tell people that you served in the in the war there?
Yeah. Well, we were with a group of veterans, so they already knew that.
So they were happy to see you.
It was a planned thing, yes.
Thankful to see you there.
Yes.
The fact that this, you know, there was an armistice signed, but there was never a peace treaty. And technically, this war goes on.
It goes on, right.
Is that just seem amazing to you or unbelievable to you that we're still—
For that long, yes.
Yeah, 60 years later?
I don't know this peace treaty or not. Ceasefire, anyhow, kept mostly Korean Peninsula in peace without active fighting. And I know between Russia and Japan doesn't have a true peace treaty about their island in north, I think Sakhalin, I don't know how you pronounce, but they don't have active fighting. So anyhow, this sixth, but I think we have to understand, for South Koreans, they even forgot about 60 years ago, the war. But for North Korean, their character and strategy, they are even charter. There is July 27, they have.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. We're out of time.
Yeah.
I think time has gone quickly.
Thank you both so much
for being here. It's certainly been interesting. We appreciate it. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik with Howard Wilkinson, and we've been talking with commander of the Cincinnati chapter of the Korean War Veterans Association, Bob McGeorge, and retired anesthesiologist from Evendale, Dr. Bai Suk Lee. You can find links to information about the program and to the organizations they talked about on our website, wvxu.org. Cincinnati Edition is produced by Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director was Rick Andres. I'm Marianne Zalesnik with Howard Wilkinson.